Back in 1965, still another mother cried as her son was sent off to a land called Charlie's Paradise. Billy was a soldier in the bush, he played for keeps. The enemy was all around, didn't Charlie ever sleep. Ordered up the hill one day to take it and make a stand. Billy never made it back, he was dealt with Charlie's hand. Maybe he's a lucky one, cause we still feel the pain of a thousand wounded players who took part in Charlie's game. He's one of a million unsung heroes whose story forever goes untold. He left his soul in numb, but his spirit still is on. He's walking with us on the last patrol. Walking with us on the last patrol.
The Last Patrol Radio Show is a program dedicated to my brothers and sisters who have and to those who are now serving America in the U.S. military, the police and security, firefighters and EMS. This is a Veterans to Veterans ministry. By God's grace, we're here to serve and to help bring the truth to you through the Word and the life of Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Ted Marshall. I served as a dog man, that is a canine handler, in the U.S. Air Force Security Police in the Vietnam War. I know that the bond we as veterans have is very special, and we can talk to each other. This program is for you and your family. Let us ask for guidance from our Lord to inspire and to hear from Him on how much He loves you. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. The Last Patrol Radio Program is a Talk to Vets ministry, hosting guests from the Christian veterans community and the caring and loving people who bring information, loving gratitude for all of you who are our nation's finest treasure. Here in the home of the brave, you are the brave in that home. You and I have a lot to share on subjects we can learn from. Using the Perfect Operations Planning Manual, the POPM, also known as the Bible, heart to heart, vet to vet, patriot to patriot, welcome home. The Last Patrol is about realizing that we have a mission that we're being called to. Each of us has a special place in this patrol. We have and are now continuing specialized training for this task and mission. This is a highly motivated, extremely skilled operations team with overpowering strength, courage, and leadership support. The air power as well, the universe knows none is awesome. The ground troops are all in the army of the Lord. We are God's warriors. Who can stand against us? Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Proverbs 3:5-6. Walk with us on the Last Patrol. Hi, this is Pastor Ted Marshall. Welcome to the Last Patrol Radio Show. You know, the truth is out there. As if we remember seeing the movie or the TV show also. Yeah, the truth is out. John 8:32 tells us, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." You see, the truth may take time also to find. It also may take time to discover or uncover. There are those who want to hide this truth from you. Why? Well, it's because they have something to hide from you. And also an agenda that they want you not to know about. Now, one of the missions that we are trying to accomplish on the Last Patrol Radio Show is to speak the truth to you. And of course, when I speak of that, the place to go to find the truth, I believe, and a lot of us do believe, is in the Holy Bible. There's so much wisdom there, and there's so much truth. I really want to undertake this effort for the show today to really search the Bible and find out what they say about the truth. And we're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about that in the show today. Sometimes we are subject to a lot of misinformation. We're subject to a lot of different things that people are trying to tell us. We're subject also to a media that used to, well, maybe they didn't used to, but maybe they always did have an agenda. When you look back at some of the older media broadcasts on things that a while back, you remember what was said about the Vietnam War. Here's a good, for instance, what was said then about what was going on, how they twisted that around. So it seemed to be what their agenda was to discredit our American troops. And, of course, that was a lie. The men that were there fought valiantly, and they fought for some very important things. The most important thing that we found in that war was that the men that fought it, in the words of Sam Davis, a Medal of Honor winner, the reason why we fought so hard, quoting Sam Davis, is because we learned that we loved each other. Loving each other is so important. As a pastor and a veteran, we've seen both sides of this equation. We've seen hate and we've seen love. And believe me, love will overcome it all. When we talk about the truth, we can even go back to Exodus, one of the Genesis, Exodus, you know, the first couple books in the Bible, the first several books in the Bible speak about it. In Exodus 18 and 20 through 22, these are simple verses, and they'll help you clear out what needs to be said. Exodus 18, 20 through 22, and starting with verse 20. Then teach them the standards and the law, and make known to them the way in which they are to walk, and to walk they are to do, and what walk they are to do. Furthermore, you shall select out of all the people able men who fear God, men of truth, those who have those who hate dishonest gain, and you shall place them over them as leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. Let them judge the people at all times, and let it be that every major dispute they will bring to you, but every minor dispute they themselves will judge. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. One of the things that we've seen in this country at a later date is that corruption, the corruption of God-fearing men, men who love God and love the truth, being infiltrated by those who have a dishonest agenda, a dishonest thing that they want to gain. A lot of that dishonesty, of course, is the gain of self-improvement where it comes to, in their eyes, the more money they can get, the more land they can have, the more power that they can have. Those are dishonest gains. And those people should never be in a leadership position. But unfortunately, in this world, we're a world that seems to be, or doesn't seem to be, it just is. It's a worldly world, meaning that there are false things that people believe in over what they should. It's important also that those who judge you be honest and not being bought off or not have another agenda. When we see some of these decisions that have been made in these past several years where the decisions are so incredibly wrong, and we're seeing people that we know in our hearts have been doing wrong getting off and seems to have no Teflon skin, that things that they have done in the past where they've actually really broken the laws seem to have no effect because they have been in a power position. Once that power goes away, then they fight like crazy to make sure that whatever amounts of power that they have left, they can use those contacts to still deflect anything coming at them. Misery loves company, but also in a situation like this where you have created some people that have made wrong decisions and made corrupt decisions, corruption corrupts. So those around them that were a party to these decisions become corrupt also. And they know if that one person goes down or that group of people go down, they're going to be included. So they fight like crazy. And they'll do everything, including lying and bringing false witness, to protect their own skins. In 1 Samuel 12:24, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. He's done a lot of stuff for all of us, a lot of great things. We need to be graceful about that and think about that. Because if it was his will, you would not take your next breath. Each breath that we take is a gift from God. In Psalm 15, 1 through 3, it tells us, O Lord, you may abide in your tent. Who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does he does evil in his neighbor, to his neighbor, excuse me, nor takes up a reproach against his friends. The psalm is important to understand. In Psalm 51 through 3, he walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. We need to understand that the heart of truth lies in us. And we know what the truth is. We know what a lie is. And this person does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes in reproach against his friend. We're seeing these people rat out each other. We're seeing these people turn on each other. We're seeing these people doing false witness and lying with their tongue and slandering other people. People they don't even know that they slander. Where does this come from? Why do people do that? Because they're not letting the truth in their heart. They've hardened their heart. And that's a simple way to say it. They have hardened their heart to the truth. And that's evil. Psalm 25:5 tells us, "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day." In Psalm 25:5, verse 5, "Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day." Sometimes it takes a while for the truth to show itself. Instantaneous, people hastily try to find something bad that they can say about somebody else. Right off the bat, anything. We used to call it nitpicking, or we still call it nitpicking, but it's worse than that. It's at the point now where they are just out there with their daggers out, getting ready to stab that person with any accusation that they can. Being hasty and not waiting for the truth to come out. The first inclination of something wrong, oh, you did it, they did it. The accusations fly all the way to judgment within a millisecond. And that's what happens. That's not justice. That's a crowd mentality, and that's a mentality of wrong. You see, truth and justice have to go hand in hand. The false allegations, the lies that are being told, those that are jumping on anything that they can, as quickly as they can, really show themselves to be fools. Recently, a few weeks ago, when President Donald Trump sent the letter to North Korea canceling the meeting, right away, you know, certain news stars and media people, celebrities, jumped on that right away, saying, well, there goes his Nobel Prize. And, of course, then jumping on, well, see, he wants nuclear war, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, it turns around, doesn't it? The truth comes out. People weren't waiting. They weren't waiting to see what plays out. They were instantaneously making snap decisions, knee-jerk reactions, showing how foolish they are. Do they ever apologize for it? Do they ever move on? Do they ever say, well, we were wrong, it looks like things are back on track? Do they give somebody credit for their leadership? No, they don't. Unless it's against the agenda, for the agenda that they're pushing. This is so self-serving. It's so shallow of mind. And unfortunately, as we go on through today's program, you're going to learn the truth of where that comes from. In Psalm 25, 9 through 11, he leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his ways. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. We are all imperfect. We all make mistakes, and all sometimes are quick to judge. And sometimes all of us are quick to take any information we can, which bolsters our side, and jump on it, not checking it out to see if it is the truth. The Internet's a powerful system. It's a powerful tool that can be used for good, but also is used for evil. I implore you to inform yourself. I implore you to take the information that's out there and check it out. I go through a routine each morning before I do a broadcast or my morning briefing, I call it. And that briefing goes from all kinds of different angles. There's a news spread where I can go to all the different headlines and find out what's going on in the world. There's also information where I can go. I have a whole lineup of information that I go to newsworthy areas that I trust because they're telling me the truth. And each time I've verified those and seen the counter stories that go against them, those counter stories have been proved to be biased and proved to be agenda pushing. And those bias stories have something that's very, very unique in common. And it's as anybody with a, how can I say this politely, anybody that has a inquiring mind, anyone that has critical thinking, when they start seeing an opposition being used, the same words being used in publication, media outlet, the exact same words being used by the same different stations, every time something comes out, where are those words coming from? What do they call those talking points? Well, who's putting those talking points out? Well, those that don't want the truth to be told in some parts. And they will sit down and say, well, how are we going to answer this question? If this question comes up, what do we say? And then we see those same pundits going on interviews using the same exact information, the same exact arguing points or talking points that either lead, distract, or absolutely cover over the truth. That's deceit. That's deceptiveness. That's propaganda. One of the reasons I want to go through the Bible and bring some of this information up to you, because the Bible is the truth. The Bible speaks the truth. Now, you may not be a Bible scholar. You may not be. I am not certainly a Bible scholar. I've studied it. I've learned what the Lord has wanted me to understand. I truly believe that. And each time that I do read out of the Bible, I learn something new because it's a living Bible. It changes, and I can relate to what's happening in the Bible and compare it to what's happening right now in my life. And I can gain wisdom from that. And I can gain insight of what's going on. Believe me, I can gain, because of the insight and the wisdom, I can also look to see what will happen if this movie plays out. Sometimes I can fast forward to the end of the movie and see the ending. Not that I want to be a spoiler alert, but I can see what path this is going down because it's not new. It's been done before. Different names, different places, different towns, different cities, different times, different nations, but the results have always been the same. In Psalm 40:10, I have not hidden your righteousness with my heart. I have spoken you of faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. See, the truth is not being concealed in the Bible. It's straight out there in front of you. And when we talk about loving kindness, in Psalm 85:10 through 12, it tells us a little more about that. That and truth. Loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth springs from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. Indeed, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its produce. The truth is good fruit. It's something that you can eat of, and it's nourishing. It's good for you. It's cleansing also. We need to seek it. We need to turn away from lies. We need to turn away from deceit and propaganda. We need to seek the truth. Our country is not perfect. Our people are not perfect. But I really believe that the majority of the people here in America are loving, kind people. You want proof of that? Well, let's go to the beaches of Normandy. Let's take a look at the graveyards there, the military graveyards at Normandy, and see how many Americans are there. See, there's the truth. They care that much that they would come all the way from a wonderful, beautiful country, which is America, and come all the way over there to help people, to defeat an enemy which was crushing another country, that occupied another country, that brutally ruled another country and hurt the people. No, our country is good. Deep down inside, it's a good country because of that loving heart that the people have, because of that wanting to do the right thing. Now, some people say that, that America seems to be in retreat and seems to be wanting to becoming isolationist. Well, I think this is probably pretty far from the truth. And sometimes you have to bring those boats back in. Sometimes you have to refuel. Sometimes you have to rebuild. Sometimes you have to retrain. And the military, of course, those of you that are my veteran brothers and sisters, those that are also currently in the military, you know what happens when equipment wears out. You know what happens when your boots wear out? Yeah, you can't walk as far, can you? No, let's get what happens when those boots start breaking down and your feet start to blister because of the boots are not working right or your sole is coming off. Yeah, it gets hard for that soldier to function. Well, let's step that up a bit. What happens if that aircraft that you've been using, that airframe, is a couple thousand hours over what the limit should be on that airframe? Oh, it's been updated, it's been fixed and everything, but what about that core airframe? Recently, we saw an accident with one of America's premier demonstration jet flight teams, and that's the Air Force Thunderbirds. Those aircraft are top-notch, well-kept, well-maintained aircraft, but those aircraft aren't new. Those aircraft frames are not new. They have a lot of hours on it. I know they try to keep them in tip-top shape, and they try to make sure that they're okay, but this is not the first jet fighter that has crashed because of a failed aircraft. And it's not the maintenance people's fault. Sometimes it's just the aircraft itself has cracks in it, and something happens where the strain is just too much because that airframe has been used too long. We have to bring it back. We have to go through our inventory. We have to see what's good, what's bad, take a good long look at it, what we must replace. By replacing that with a newer aircraft, or even a brand new type of aircraft, this will extend our military usefulness. This will extend our strength. By bringing some of this equipment to bear, we've been in war overseas for too many years. It was 10 years in Vietnam that we were there. And these guys in Iraq and Afghanistan have been there longer. The equipment that was sent over there, that's been over there all these years, has worn out. And this not only includes the jeeps, the trucks, the things that we tried to replace them with and bring in other words, maintenance areas over to try to bring it up. These things are wearing out. The weapons that are over there, the machine guns, the different types of weapons. We're getting down to the arsenal is starting to be depleted. We can only repair things so long till they just don't work. And that's what's happened. We have to bring everything back. We have to start systematically repairing, replacing, upgrading. That goes so much, not only with just our military, but that goes with all of us. Sometimes we have to come in on our long journeys out. Sometimes we have to come in and we have to regroup. We have to take a good look at what's the priorities and what do we need to accomplish those priorities. When we take a look what's happened in this country with some of the laws and some of the things that have been twisted and used not in the right way, sometimes we have to take a look at those. When we see our country has been taken advantage of, when we see our country has been misused, when we see our corruption and what it's done in the past, not really caring about the middle class people, not really caring about the heart of America, which is the middle class, us, the ones that breed the children, the men and women that go into the military and fight, the ones that have those children that love them, the ones whose families suffer because of bad decisions made, keeping people there too long. See, people wear out also. PTSD for the veteran today is a real thing. The multiple deployments these men have made. Well, they say it's a volunteer army. They should be used to it. No, nobody gets used to it. Nobody gets used to it because you cannot get used to getting worn out. Eventually, when you get worn out, you can no longer function at all. And when you do get to the point where you're out of the service or you come back, PTSD and the different situations that you see out there are prominent in the military. Our troops are being worn out. They need rest and recuperation. They need downtime. But because of the levels of troops that we have, it's hard to do that because they're needed so badly. It's important that we remember American history, the true American history. It's important that we remember the sacrifices that this country has made and the people in this country have made and are continuing to make. It's also important for us to remember what the goals of this country is and what this country was founded on. Those naysayers out there, those people that would lie to you, try to run this country down from the beginning. Of course we've made mistakes. We're human. But one of the things that it's so important is that trial and error, things that we've done that didn't work and things that we finally made to work, all these things lead up to this, lead up to today. And Psalm 111:6-8 tells us, He has made known to His people the power of His works and giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of His hands are truth and justice. All His precepts are sure. They are upheld forever and ever. And they are performed in truth and uprightness. As long as we stick to that, as long as we understand that as we keep striving in that direction, we're going to be okay. There's going to be some bumps, and there's going to be some drawbacks, and there's going to be some real challenges that are out there. That's this world. That is the challenge that we face. In Psalm 111, 7 through 9, the works of His hands are truth and justice. All His precepts are sure. They are upheld forever and ever. They are performed in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to His people. He has ordained His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. That's in Psalm 111, verses 7 through 9. I encourage you to seek the truth. I encourage you to find the truth. I encourage you to be able to understand and hear the truth. You know, in the radio world, in the media world, they have what they call sound bites, where they will take a speech and they'll take something that somebody says in a speech and they'll pick out these little important things. And because it kind of... In most cases, when they do the sound bites and so forth, they're trying to get the point across. Sometimes, though, the sound bites that they say are out of context to what the whole content is. One of the things I really enjoy about the Bible, and I hope you get a chance, go take a look at this, if you would. If you've never read Proverbs, Proverbs to me is God's true sound bites. I really enjoy Proverbs because I'm a simple guy. I don't need a long dissertation of a huge thing to get a point across to me. It can be done very simply, and I'll get it. I thank the Lord for that. But sometimes I have to read. I have to read books, and I love books. I really do. If you looked at my studio here, you would see I've got books all over the place. And I even have a bookshelf that's crammed full of books, and I try to keep it orderly, and I have books over on different shelves and so forth, and these are books that I do read. What I'm really proud to say is 95% of the books are on my shelves I've read. And I use them as sometimes to go back because I know I've read something and it was important. And I'll go back and I may quote from that book, but it also gives me a chance to reaffirm something that I may need some reaffirming on. The Bible, of course, is something that I've got lots of books on the Bible. I've got when I did my study with the Moody Bible Institute, I've got information here that's in folders that I have, those big three-wing binders that I added in there, some from the courses that I took and the tests and so forth that I was taking in the courses. And I will go back and look at those. Sometimes something will come up and I just, I have a question. I've heard this before. Or if I'm preparing a sermon, I want to go back and recheck maybe a certain passage in the Bible, certain scriptures. And because something had sparked an interest, or sparked something I wanted to say about that, and where have I heard this before? I'm verifying. I'm going back, and I'm doing the research, and I'm using different sources to make sure that the truth is there, that I'm reaching the truth. But what I like about Proverbs, as I said, this is God's sound bites of truth. And we're going to go through a few of those. But that was just something that I wanted you to be aware of. Take a look at Proverbs. Go through them. Read them. I remember a little song that the Mickey Mouse Mouseketeers used to sing. And, of course, this was back in the day of black and white TV. Hello, folks. Three channels, maybe. And if you wanted to turn the channel, you had to stand up and turn the channel. And sometimes you even had, if you didn't have an outside antenna, you had rabbit ears with tin foil on it. You remember those days? Some of you don't. Some of you are looking at me like I have two heads. But Mickey Mouse actually had the Mouseketeers sing this song. And the words were proverbs, proverbs that are so true. Proverbs tell you what to do. Proverbs help you all to be better Mouseketeers. Now, could they say that today? Would they say that today? Would Disney do that today? I don't know. I don't know if they... I really doubt it. I really doubt it. But look it up. It was there. It really happened. Let's go to one of the sound bites, God's true sound bites. In Proverbs 3:3, do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Wow. We need to keep the truth close to us. Kindness and truth. Because truth sometimes isn't kind, but we need to have kindness with us. We need to know what the truth is. We need to bind them around us and write them down and put them in our heart. Put that truth and that kindness in our heart. In Proverbs 8:7, for my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Proverbs 8:7 again, for my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Something to strive for. Some good sound bites, hey? In Proverbs 12:17, he who speaks truth tells what is right, but a false witness deceits. When you see when they have people that testify falsely, and we have seen this in Congress now, we've seen people lying to us while they were being a witness, lying to us about facts, we're seeing deceit. And this goes back to what we talked about before. Deceit. They're deceiving us. Why are they deceiving us? They're hiding something. Why are they hiding something? Because they are guilty of something. Because they are part of the corruption. See how this trail goes? Well, you be the detective. You figure it out. Use what you should have, and that's critical thinking. Critical thinking, being able to take a look at different sides of the issue, finding the truth, and finding what is true and what is not. It's not either side of an issue. It's what's true and what's false. Perfect. It's very interesting sometimes when you see what happens or what's happened in the past, taking a look at what's happened now and probably what's going to happen in the future. When we see people, when you come across people that you know have lied to you in the past, what does that mean to you inside when you're talking to them? Is there something that there's untrust there, of course, but there's something that you sometimes will always remember in the back of your mind. The truth is nowhere close to that person. Hopefully they've changed, but until you see a change, you take it with the proverbial grain of salt, correct? So whatever that person says to you at that time, pretty much you discount it. Pretty much it's not something that you're going to count too much on. In Proverbs 12:19, truthful lips will be established forever, but a lying tongue is only for a moment. So for that moment that you speak to that person or listen to that someone who's lied to you in the past, it's pretty much when that conversation is over, it's over. In Proverbs 14:22, I really do love Proverbs. I've got to say this. I really do love it. In Proverbs 14:22, will they not go astray who devise evil? But kindness and truth will be to those who devise good. In Proverbs 14:25, a truthful witness saves lives, but he who utters lies is treacherous. Remember that. It's written and it's so true. And we have seen those who lie as a witness. We see that treacherous people. And my gosh, I would love to be able to sit down and go over with you sometime what I'm seeing day to day when it comes to those that are in the news and those that are in positions of power are positions that used to be in power. And what they've said in the past and what they say now and seeing the contradictions and seeing the lies. If we would only use that critical thinking I was telling you about and be that detective and be the truth seeker. In Proverbs 16:6, it tells us, by loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. But by the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. One of these days, we'll talk about what fear of the Lord means. And briefly, it means loving the Lord. It means wanting to do good for him. Not wanting to, not being afraid of his wrath. Of course, we should be afraid of his wrath. But that fear of the Lord means in truthfulness that we want to be on his side. We want to do his bidding. We want to do what is right. Because he loves us so much. And we do not want to have him ashamed of us in his eyes. And finally, in Proverbs 20:28, loyalty and truth preserve the king, and he upholds his throne by righteousness. Thank God. And we have to realize this, that those that are appointed or those that are in powers of leadership are only there because God has allowed it to be so. We try to take a look at his plan, and I don't think we can back up that satellite picture of the earth far enough back to see what his plan is. But we have to trust in it because we love the Lord and we fear the Lord. We know that he has our better purpose for us. As a pastor, sometimes we wonder to ourselves, and maybe even out loud, are we doing the right thing? Lord, are we doing what you want us to do? Are we preaching the truth? Are we seeking the truth? As a servant of the Lord, as an ordained pastor, it means so much to me to be able to and humbles me so much that he's chosen me to be able to speak these words, to speak to you, to serve. I have a servant's heart. I know that. I love people. I tolerate bad people for a short time. I'm still an ex-veteran. But I do wish that people, I wish good for people. And it's so important also that, as before, leading this patrol on point, on the last patrol, there is a purpose for this. There's a purpose for leading people and trying to help them find ways to the truth in their life. In Ecclesiastes 12, 9 through 11, it really kind of hit me hard when I read this, and years ago when I read it, and then even today, each time I read it, it means a lot. The title of this in Ecclesiastes 12, 9 through 11 is The Purpose of the Preacher. Starting with verse 9, in addition to being a wise man, the preacher also taught the people knowledge. And he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. Verse 10, the preacher sought to find delightful words and to write words of truth correctly. In verse 11, the words of the wise men are like gourds. And masters of these collections are like well-driven nails that are given by one shepherd. We're building something here for us. We're building something for you. We're building a stairway. We're building a ladder that can raise you above the rest so you can see the forest fire out there, so you can see the truth, so you can see around you. Not just on the ground view, but a little bit more elevated, that you can look out and have that observation point where you can be in that watchtower and see what's going on around you and further down the road and over that hill. Isaiah 32:3-5. Then the eyes of those who see will not be blinded, and the ears of those who hear will listen. The mind of the hasty will discern the truth, and the tongue of the stammers will hasten to speak clearly. No longer will the fool be called noble, or the rogue be spoken as generous. Let me give you a little insight on that Isaiah passage. You see, when the king comes, people's motives will become transparent, and fools will not be regarded as noble. Those who oppose God's standards of living will be unable to maintain their deception. In that blazing light, in the Holy Savior, sin cannot disguise itself and appear to be good. Christ's revealing fight shines into the darkest corners of our hearts, showing sin clearly for what it is. When Jesus reigns in your heart, there's no place for sin, no matter how well hidden you may think it is. In Jeremiah 5, verse 3, O Lord, do not your eyes look for truth. You have smitten them, but they did not weaken. You have consumed them, but they refused to take correction. They have made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to repent. I want to finish up this section before we take a quick break, but we're going to be talking in Jeremiah 5, 3, Jeremiah 7, verse 28, and Jeremiah 9, verses 3. First, I'd like to say in Jeremiah 5, 3, our Lord, do not your eyes look for truth. You have smitten them, but they did not weaken. You have consumed them, but they refused to take correction. They made their faces harder than rock, and they have refused to repent. Continuing that, I know we just repeated that, but continuing that, Jeremiah 7:28 and Jeremiah 9:3.
Let's put this all together. You shall say to them, this is the nation that did not obey this voice of the Lord their God or accept correction. Truth has perished, has been cut off from their mouth. And Jeremiah 9:3, they bend their tongues like their bow. Lies and not truth prevail in this land, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. One of the reasons that I wanted to repeat Jeremiah 5:3, it just struck me so hard that the part where they refuse to repent, and they have, you know, they made their faces harder than rock, and they refuse to repent. When confronted with the truth of what people are doing, they seem to have such a callousness that they don't care anymore. They don't care if they've been called out. And one of the biggest things that we're seeing is hypocrisy, where they don't care that there's two different standards, because their self-serving standard is above reproach, because all they're thinking of is them, no one else. Wow, that is evil. That is absolutely evil. In the book of Jeremiah that we're going to be that we read from, we're going to understand that in Jeremiah, this is a situation where he was conflicted. He was seeing his countrymen, and his emotions his people. They were lying to each other, deceiting. There's treachery, adultery, idolatry, and these have become common sins. And he was angered by the sins, but he had compassion too. He was set apart from them by his mission from God, but he was also one of them. Now, Jesus had similar feelings when he stood before Jerusalem, the city that would reject him. Let me read to you verses 3 through 9 in Jeremiah. Verse 9, and chapter 9, verses 3 through 9. They make ready their tongues like a bow to shoot lies. It's not by truth that they triumph. In the land they go from one sin to another, and they do not acknowledge me. Beware of your friends, and do not trust your brothers, for every brother is a deceiver, and every friend a slanderer. Friends deceived friends, and no one speaks the truth. They have taught their tongues to lie, and they weary themselves for sinning. You live in their midst of deception, and their deceit they refuse to acknowledge me. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty says. See, I will refine, and I will test them, for what else can I do? Because of the sin of my people, their tongue is a deadly arrow. It speaks with deceit. With his mouth, each speak cordially of his neighbor, but in his heart he sets a trap for him. Should I not punish him for this, declares the Lord? Should not avenge myself of such of a nation as this? Look around, folks. What are we seeing today? Right straight from Jeremiah, we're seeing what is going on today. This is a living Bible. Let's take a break for a second, and I have a great song I'd like for you to listen to, and by our friend and a good reverend himself, a very talented man, Reverend John Steer.
You can read a million volumes of stories about love, from the hearts and minds of earthly men who don't know the meaning of what's written in my Bible. Each page keeps pointing me to the one who wrote love's story on a hill called Calvary. When it comes to loving me, for he wrote a book and left it in black and white and invites all to look. Just can't hold back the tears when I read what love took. When it comes to loving me, oh, he wrote the The plot's not complicated, it's not hard to understand, to know how much it cost him to write salvation's plan. It started in a manger, then it led to Calvary. Every word of all its pages shows the love he has for me. When it comes to loving me, for he wrote a book and left it in black and white and invites all to look. Just can't hold back the tears when I read what love took. When it comes to loving me, oh, he wrote the book. When it comes to loving me, oh, he wrote the book.
Reverend John Steer. Thanks, John Steer, again, for letting us use his music. And for the wonderful message that he is able to bring to us through his words and wonderful voice. Zechariah 8:15 through 17. So I have again proposed in these days to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear. These are the things which you should do. Speak the truth to one another. Judge with truth and judgment for peace in your gates. Also let no one of you devise evil in your heart against another, and do not love perjury, for all these are what I hate, declares the Lord. Are we seeing this around us today? Are we seeing the deceit? Are we seeing the perjury? Are we seeing the lying to each other and against each other? Yes, we are. And it saddens our heart to see this because we can look right into the Bible and see where the same things happened and what the outcome was. Now moving on, let's take a look at John 3:20 and 22. John chapter 3, verses 20 and 22. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who participates in the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. I know we've tried to put a lot of information in this one program, and we're going to have to expand this program. We're going to have to do a part two, because we still have a little ways to go through talking about the truth and what the Bible reveals to us about the truth. Thank you for listening to us today. Come back again soon to the Last Patrol Radio Show. This is Pastor Ted Marshall, and we really do appreciate all that all those that are listening to us out there, and we thank you, Lord, for giving us this opportunity to serve. Hi, this is Pastor Ted Marshall. Thank you for listening to the Last Patrol Radio Show. The Last Patrol Radio Show is a production of Veterans Radio Ministries. Veterans Radio Ministries is a ministry of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church in Tampa, Florida. You can reach us by going to veteransradioministries.com. Again, that's veteransradioministries.com. If you'd like to contact us, please do so. Thank you for supporting and thank you for listening to the Last Patrol Radio Show. Tell your friends about it, email your friends about it, text them, Twitter, tweet, whatever you do, but spread the word of Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to the Last Patrol.
We were proud to call him brother. We were proud of what he'd done. Would it have been any different if America had won? Not too late to thank him or tell him that you miss him. You can tell him that you love him. Touch his name upon the wall. One of a million unsung heroes, whose story forever goes untold. Left his soul in numb, but his spirit still lives on. He's walking with